is the podcast of the Leeds Centre for Dante Studies.
In this short series of podcasts, Ruth Chester, a doctoral candidate at the University of Leeds, explores some of the key ideas which informed Dante's religious thought.
This podcast is an introduction to the theology of the Incarnation and its place in Dantean thought. The doctrine of the Incarnation is one of the central points of belief for the Christian faith. On the surface, it has a relatively simple meaning. The Incarnation is the moment at which the second person of the Trinity, which is alternatively referred to as the Logos, the Word, or Christ, takes on human flesh. Just think about the word itself, and it will tell you this. The combination of the preposition in and the Latin word for flesh, carne. You may have heard the expression, the Word made flesh, which originally appears in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. John in the New Testament and refers precisely to the Incarnation. But the concept of the Incarnation is a very profound one within Christian belief, and it has links to many other important ideas, which I'll give you a very short introduction to here. Firstly, it's important to understand this idea of logos, or word. If you've listened to the podcast on the Trinity, you'll know that the Christian God is conceived of as a unified whole, but three distinct persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the second of these, the Son, who is also called the Logos, or Word. As a member of the divine Trinity, the Son is eternal and immaterial. However, what distinguishes him from the other two persons is that the Logos is the creative principle of God, the way through which God manifests and reveals himself in his own created universe. We can say that the Logos is the word of the Father. It is his self-expression, according to a scholar called A.H. Armstrong. So as the Logos, God is eternally present in creation. So if Christ, as the Logos, is in some sense always there, what is so special about the Incarnation? If you've listened to the podcast on original sin, you'll know that after Adam's first sin in the Garden of Eden, the human race was corrupted at its root and existed in a state known as original sin. This is a state in which humankind is, we might say, infected with physical and moral weakness and must ultimately suffer death. To redeem mankind from this state and reunite it with God, thus restoring it to its original sinless state and allowing it to share in God's glory, it was necessary for a being who was both equal to man in his frailty, sharing in his nature, and yet so much greater than man that he could equal Adam's status and be a representative for the whole human race to repay the debt to God incurred by Adam. To speak plainly, God had to become man and sacrifice himself of his own free will and without necessity for the sake of mankind. So really, human salvation is at the heart of the Incarnation. What we have in the incarnate figure of Jesus Christ is someone who is both God and man. The mode of this union was the subject of much debate in the early church. What was the real nature of the union? What did it entail for both parts? The doctrinal consensus was that the two natures of Christ, divine and human, exist together in the one person, Jesus Christ, but they are not mixed. This union is referred to hypostatic. Hypostatic means that which is the basis or foundation of the way something is, and can be understood as meaning reality rather than appearance. Christ doesn't appear to have two natures, he really has two natures. Christ, in his human nature, retains all the weakness of that nature, which were brought about by Adam's original sin, so feeling hunger, feeling cold. But Christ himself has no sin, so in becoming human, he willingly suffers for the sins of others. Of course, the ultimate example of this willing suffering is his acceptance of crucifixion. A divine nature alone, as perfect, incorruptible, would have been unable to die, unable to pay the debt of suffering, and at the same time, the sacrifice of an individual human nature alone would not have been sufficient to redeem all of mankind. I talked earlier about the concept of the Logos as the principle by which God reveals and expresses himself within creation. In the figure of Jesus Christ, there is a unique example of this revelation. The special God-man nature of Christ means that he was understood by medieval theologians and normal Christians as a mediator between humankind and God. As human, he can demonstrate a perfect, sinless life. Jesus, as represented in the Bible, is a teacher of good behaviour and Christian virtue, especially the virtues of charity and humility. But he must be understood as much more than that. Through the Incarnation, God becomes present in an active way in human life, but he is always also God. Part of the purpose of the Incarnation was to demonstrate to humankind the presence of God not just in Christ, but in all of creation. Christ is a signpost back to God. By, in a way, meeting the visible human Christ, a person can become aware of the invisible God. The way in which the two natures of Christ or the God-man are interconnected was a much debated topic in medieval theology, and it is a topic which Dante explores himself in the Commedia. Trying to understand how Jesus Christ could be both God and man is one of the underlying themes of the Commedia, which influence its content, its poetry, and its structure. Furthermore, trying to understand the influence which the Incarnation has on human salvation is central to someone like Dante. Remember, when we are reading the Commedia, we are reading the work of someone with real faith, to whom questions like these are real, not abstract. Plus, they are questions which are so infused into medieval thought that their presence in a work such as the Commedia may be as much implicit as explicit. There are points at which Dante addresses the question head-on, for example in Canto 7 of the Paradiso, in which Beatrice actually explains the process of the Incarnation to him, or in the final image of Paradiso 33, in which the how of the Incarnation is revealed to Dante. But we can also see the themes surrounding the Incarnation, for example, in the penances of Purgatory, which highlight the value of suffering as Christ suffered in human form. For example, in Canto 23 of the Purgatorio, around lines 70 to 75, the suffering of the souls of the gluttonous, which Dante meets there, is directly compared to the redemptive suffering of Christ. Dante often shifts his vision between Christ's humanity and Christ's divinity, in a way reflecting the process of trying to understand the true nature of the Incarnation, of trying to understand Christ's duality. In a sense, he is reflecting the intention behind the Incarnation, that humankind must first understand Christ as man before being able to use his humanity as a ladder to climb or a path to follow in order to reach the divine.